Welcome to the broadcast today. This is Brother Eric John Phelps with 24/7 World Radio, coming to you live and direct from Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, on this September 28th, 2023. The topic of this message today is a restatement or reclarification of my offer or my encouragement for those of us who differ in our certain theological views, that we need to unite politically, not theologically, not churches, not religions, nothing ecumenical. Remember, ecumenicalism is a Jesuit Roman Catholic word. It's called the Ecumenical Council of Trent from 1545 to 1563. We denounce ecumenism, always. And we specialize in separation. When somebody goes astray, we correct them. If they persist, then we separate and start our own assemblies once again. That's the biblical maxim of come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing. You know it, 2 Corinthians 6. But I'm not calling for that. I'm calling for those men and women who are seriously resisting the Jesuit order to unite in a common political solution to the problem. And that is, we need to advocate what our white Anglo-Saxon Protestant and Baptist forefathers did from the Declaration of Independence with the United Netherlands in 1581, the Mecklenburg Declaration out of Mecklenburg County in North Carolina in 1775, the Declaration of Independence of the United States of America in 1776, and the Declaration of the State of Texas in 1836. All these documents were white-raced Anglo-Saxon Protestant and Baptist documents that were declaring their independence from a political tyranny. And there were men who were believers, in fact, they were the leaders, and there were men who were not believers who sided with us in this political movement, in this political question to address ultimately the expulsion of the Jesuits and the separation from the governments that those Jesuits controlled. All right? So that's my offer. That offer was to Harrison Katz. That offer was to Brian Denlinger, which he replied in a very gentlemanlike fashion, which I respect, although differ with him vehemently. That offer was to Johnny Cerucci, which I have not heard anything back. And of course, I don't know if he will reply at all. And also to, who was the other one? I think Eric Bauman, but I have no issues with Eric Bauman. I think the things he does online are just tremendous. And I like showing that Jesuit institution in, Qatar was astounding. So I do like his work. In fact, I like the work of all those men when they are resisting the Jesuit order. I still have contempt for three of them, as they have contempt for me. And that will not end until it is resolved personally with me, which I doubt they will ever seek to resolve it, because they're going to persist in their heresies, and that's fine. Let the Lord do what seemeth good to him. But even though I regard them as these three, Katz and Denlinger and Cerucci, as heretics, we can still unite with the same political solution to the problem, and that is, or I shouldn't say unite, we should still advocate the same solution to the problem, and that is, number one, the United States military government in place since March 9th, 1933, expel the Jesuits from the United States. Anybody can do that. Any infidel can do that. Every man of God should do it. And any infidel or Muslim or Jew or Buddhist or whatever that wants to join in advocating the expulsion of the Jesuit order from the United States, I welcome their support. I welcome their help. And so that was my initial proposition, which I don't think I made very clear. And it's not that I wanted to unite with the ministry of Brian Denlinger or anybody else. It's about uniting with the same political solution to the Jesuit power in America that runs this country and has driven us into destruction in its final hours of destroying the historic white-raced Anglo-Saxon Celtic Protestant and Baptist nation of people, no matter how many other peoples they have to destroy. And by the way, the tactics of the Jesuits is in bringing all these alien Hispanic invaders in here, as well as all these blacks from Africa, and all these Asians from Asian nations, is to ultimately round them all up when the new right comes to power and send them to the concentration camps. That's where they're going. I think those poor souls coming up into Texas, they're all going to die in FEMA death camps and probably the big death camp in Anchorage or outside of Anchorage, Alaska, which is about 1 million acres. So because I'm not a racist, I don't hate anybody, and I challenge anybody to find any of my broadcasts for the last 15 years that say I hate any race, go find it. You won't. But I am a racialist, and I believe that God separated the races to keep mankind separate. Otherwise, why did he create them? It's not a result of evolution. It's a result of special creation through the sons of Noah. And through those sons of Noah, you have the different basic three races of mankind. And I'm not using the word humanity because that's a pagan term. And so I desire to maintain those differences, as any man of God should. I can show you black men of God that don't want to live around white people that want their own nation. Manning Johnson was one of them. You need to read about him. And others, you can read of other certain black men of God that in a book that I read on this broadcast called On Race and Reason by Carlton Putnam, the founder of Delta Airlines. Get the book, read it, or listen to my broadcast as I read it into my programs. So I am not a hateful racist. I am a racialist. I don't hate anybody. And I had to laugh. I had 6 black students in one of my private citizenship classes a couple years ago. All of them black. And it just so happened that I had to be in court that day. So I brought them all with me downtown to Lebanon County Court, and the Dana, who was dear brother in Christ, he was a pastry chef, and he goes into the courtroom where Judge Klein is sitting there, and Klein looks up from his paperwork, and he says, and can I help you? What do you want? And Dana says, oh, we're here with Eric today. And Klein says, oh, okay. So I was there in court with 6 of my black students, and we were having a wonderful time and talked about it after I was there and what was done. And if I'm such a racist, would I ever bring 6 black students with me into court in Lebanon County? Everybody that's called me a racist had better repent, because God is going to chasten you for that. I'm not. I've proven it over and over. And as I've said, I'm the best friend the American black man ever had, because I told him the truth. I told him in my book who killed Malcolm X. I told him in my book who killed Martin Lucifer King, that serial fornicator. And it's the Pope's white power structure, the same white power structure that killed Kennedy. It's all in my book, Vatican Assassins. You can get the CD and read it online. Read it on your computer. So you accuse me of being a racist while you're not even looking at the facts. You're just going to Wikipedia and repeating what those idiot, infidel maligners are saying. And shame on you. So, away with this charge of racism. I will tell you this also, that I am absolutely vocal in defending the biblical institution of slavery. Don't you tell me that slavery is a sin. Show me in the Bible where slavery is a sin. Show me where the masters who had slaves were in sin because they were having slaves. Show me. Give me a passage of scripture. And the infidel radical red Republicans, when the southern white men said, yes, the Bible defends the institution of slavery and makes a way for a gradual emancipation and teaches the slaveholders how to treat their slaves in Colossians chapter 1 and 4 and so on, but it nowhere condemns the institution of slavery. And furthermore, in the millennial kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ will have slaves to his racial Hebrew, Jewish, Israelitish people. The Gentile nations will be their servants. There will be a slavery in the millennial kingdom, a servitude to the nation of Israel when they are restored at the second coming of Christ. Now you're going to talk to Jesus Christ and rebuke him for having Gentile slaves to serve his beloved racial people, the Hebrew, Jewish, Israelites? You're going to rebuke him for that? Remembering all the while the southern men in the south were gradually emancipating the blacks and they were being returned to Liberia, which had been built by white Protestants. And the leader of it, one of the leaders, was Francis Scott Key, the writer of Our Star-Spangled Banner. The Jesuit design is to completely debunk our founding fathers and our white Protestant founders because they had slaves. And anybody that had slaves, we got to do away with that. So that's why they're taking down the John Witherspoon statue in Princeton, because he had slaves. So that's the roundabout way to destroy the great Calvinist, Presbyterian, and Baptist leaders of the past who happen to have slaves. So what? The Bible doesn't condemn it. It tells men who have slaves how to treat them. So it's about time we started defending the biblical institution of slavery while attacking those who misused and abused their slaves. So, I'm not a racist. I'm not a sexist. Of course, I've dealt with this many times. And I am a bigot. You know what a bigot is? A bigot is one who teaches there's only one way to do something. And the Bible is the most bigoted book on the face of the earth. And I mean the AV 1611, which in some places needs to be clarified. That's exactly right, Brian. And I'll get into that in another broadcast after this one. So, away with these charges for those arrogant individuals that charge me as being a racist and a bigot and a sexist. The Lord rebuke you, and may you repent for slandering and libeling me with those false charges. The next one is, and that's you particularly, Johnny Cerucci. That's you. So now let's go on. So I'm making a proposition to any of you men, and anybody else for that matter, that is against the Jesuit order. There is only one solution politically to resolve the problem. First of all, I'll give you the biblical maxims. The biblical maxims we see in chapter 4 of the book of James, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know it's the right thing to call for the expulsion of a military order that's hell-bent on destroying your nation, you have the political and civil responsibility to address them and ultimately to call for their expulsion from your country. The president of Nicaragua properly expelled the Jesuits just a couple of months ago from his country of Nicaragua. What was it, Noriega? What was his name? He expelled him. I said, good for him. So it is our duty as nationalists, as Bible-believing nationalists, because God created nationalism in Genesis 10. He created the nations. We should espouse the purpose of our nation. The Jesuits are internationalists. They don't want borders. They don't want nations. They made it clear in their movie, The Matrix. They also made it clear with that infidel sex pervert, Charlie Chaplin, years ago when he talked about having no borders. That's all Jesuitism. If you're going to have any sort of civilization, you have to have nations with borders, and those nations have specific racial characters, languages, and traditions and boundaries. That is what a nation is. Mix it all up, you destroy nationalism, and you prepare the way for the internationalist Jesuit order world government under the final Pope of Rome, slain with a sword, then to be made the Antichrist for 42 months. So, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Do you think maybe that there are certain infidels that want to resist the Jesuit order? Is it not a good thing to resist them and call for their expulsion out of your country? Therefore, can I not unite politically with this quest or purpose to have them expelled with a Roman Catholic individual, or with a Buddhist individual, or with a Muslim individual, or with a Unitarian individual, or with an anti-Trinitarian individual, or with a work salvation individual, or with an Arian, or with a Pelagian? I care not what your theology is. That's what Cromwell said. He said, I quarrel not with your conscience. Cromwell said that. When it comes to resisting political tyranny of Charles I, we had better unite against it. And that's what happened. So he, therefore, him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. There's another one, another passage of Scripture. Hebrews 12:4. As the Apostle Paul, being the writer of Hebrews by the providence of God, for which reason the book of Hebrews is in the New Testament, and exclusively for that reason, as the early fathers believed the Apostle Paul was the author, and hence that's why it's part of the canon. According to my beloved teacher of the past, now with the Lord, Brother Arthur Bowser. So we read here in Hebrews 12, verse 4, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Tell me, can a pagan strive against sin? Can a pagan speak up and say, you know what, that's a political tyranny and I'm not going along with it? Sure they can. Now, they're not going to have any power in resisting it because their father is the devil, and the lusts of their father they do. Ephesians chapter 2, it's the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. If they're not saved, they're still energized by the devil. Nonetheless, they can advocate doing something right. They will not have any power to truly resist it. As history teaches us, the Dutch people resisted the papacy for centuries, but they were Catholics, and they could never succeed in resisting the papacy until the Reformation came to the United Provinces. And then, ultimately, they got their political liberty after an 80-year civil war, led by men of God, preachers preaching in the open field, men and women getting saved, believing the true gospel, that Christ died for their sins, was buried and rose again, and that's the gospel of 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, coupled with repentance of Acts chapter 17, verse 30, that God has called many everywhere to repent. Repentance and faith, repentance and faith, repentance and faith. Repentance is a gift, and faith is a gift. Yet all men can repent, and all men can believe, but no man will believe. And since they will not believe, God has to ordain certain elect before the foundation of the world to give them repentance and give them faith, and ultimately to save them as they believe the gospel. That's true total depravity, of which I differ very much with certain Calvinists. So we have those two particular verses, that we are to resist evil. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Well, we see all this sin going on in Washington with Joe Biden. Remembering that Joe Biden and Donald Trump work together. And as I've preached many times, we white men are being played for suckers being driven into the arms of Donald Trump and Bannon and all those other Roman Catholics. That's right. Trump is, in fact, a real Roman Catholic. He's a Roman Catholic at his heart. He's got a Roman Catholic wife. It's like Charles II had a Roman Catholic wife. For which reason, Japan cut off all diplomatic relations with England as soon as Charles II took a Roman Catholic wife. So we have to look at history, at what was done by our historic white Anglo-Saxon Protestant fathers and Baptist fathers. And I'm not a Protestant, I'm a Baptist. I am a Baptist thoroughly. I believe Baptist doctrine is absolutely true. I believe in the Baptist distinctives. Baptism by immersion, which, by the way, is a clarification in our King James Bible, not a correction. B-A-P-T-I-S-T, two ordinances, two offices, individual soul liberty, and a few other things. All these are Baptist distinctives that the New Testament clearly teaches. And, of course, separation of an organized church from an organized government. That is a Baptist distinctive, and it's called the Baptist First Amendment. In the past, penned by a Baptist named James Madison, and he was also a Calvinist, as he was trained by a Presbyterian Calvinist named John Witherspoon at Princeton College. Now they're going after Witherspoon. Why, he had slaves, so we're going to remove his statue here. Now, anybody had slaves, got to be evil. These white devils, real wicked sinners. If it wasn't for John Witherspoon, there is no Declaration of Independence, and there is no signing it, and there is no greatest republic in world history. And you need to rethink what the Bible teaches about slavery. Witherspoon was good to his slaves, as all Bible-believing Protestants and Baptists were. And you must always distinguish between how the Roman Catholics treated their slaves and how the Protestant and Baptist Bible-reading people treated their slaves. And it's a world of difference. So going on, we see these two maxims that we are to resist evil, these two biblical maxims. And so I am calling for everyone who's against the Jesuits to advocate three things. And the first one being to call for the expulsion of the Jesuits from the United States, to call for it in Congress. That Fauci and his Jesuit brothers put upon us this mass murder of the Jesuit jab. That's all Jesuit. It's not Jew. It's not Freemasonic, although certain Freemasonic Jews are involved. The ones behind it are white, they are Gentiles, and they rule Jerusalem because Jerusalem has been trodden down by the Gentiles up to until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, as Christ said in Luke. And so the times of the Gentiles have not been fulfilled yet. They will end with the second coming of Christ. And in the meantime, Jerusalem will be trodden down by Gentiles, and particularly for the last 500 years, white Gentiles loyal to the Pope of Rome, Satan's Pope of Rome. So therefore, that's the first thing we should advocate. The Jesuits be expelled from the United States of America. I think we can agree on that, even though we will not agree theologically on major doctrines. Can we agree to call for the expulsion of the Jesuits? Can you Muslims in this country call for the expulsion of the Jesuits? Can you Buddhists in this country, individual Buddhists, call for the expulsion of the Jesuits? I'm not uniting with any church. I'm not uniting with any heretical religion. I'm uniting with certain individuals, regardless of what they believe, to call for the expulsion of the Jesuits from the United States. And if there was a priest that advocated that, I would unite with him personally to call for the expulsion of the Jesuits of the United States. And remember, it was Pope Clement XIV who suppressed and extinguished the Jesuit order forever in 1773. And if I had lived in 1773, I would have united with Clement XIV for the suppression of the Jesuit order out of the world, which is what the Pope did. And it lasted from 1773 till 1814. I'd have united individually with that man that was heading the papacy to call for the expulsion of the Jesuits in my country. And of course, he suppressed him forever with a papal bull, Dominic Aqua Demptor, Noster. Are you getting it? Uniting with certain individuals politically, regardless of their creed, to call for the expulsion of the Jesuits from this country. Would I unite with a feminist? Of course I would. Would I unite with an abortionist? Of course I would. I hate the sin, but they're advocating a right thing when it comes to calling for the expulsion of the Jesuits. And so that's what needs to be a unified cry by every individual man or woman in their individual capacity without uniting with the political movements of those individuals or their churches or whatever. The second thing is, if the District of Columbia under Jesuit control from Georgetown University, running this military government here for the last 90 years, since March 9, 1933, and the commander-in-chief being a slave of the Pope of Rome, that's why they all go visit him, regardless of whether or not they're a Republican or a Democrat, further proving there's no difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. That if this military government, overseen by the Jesuits of Georgetown, and probably more so the Jesuits of Fordham, then we have to call for our state governments to declare independence from District of Columbia. And that's what I call for. Hopefully, not too long, I'll be putting up a Declaration of Independence for Pennsylvania. When in the course of human events and blah, 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 blah. When there is a design against us to reduce us. It's called conspiracy in the Declaration of Independence. That's right. And so, therefore, no matter who it is in Pennsylvania, whether he be black, whether he be white, whether he be Asian, whether he be Muslim, whether he be Hispanic, whatever, no matter what his race may be, or no matter what his religious creed may be, we can unite as individuals in a political matter to call for the expulsion of the Jesuits from our state of Pennsylvania. Now, that's going to be difficult because the Archbishop of Philadelphia runs this state. He's the king of Pennsylvania. And the Jesuits of St. Joseph's University in Philadelphia oversee him. The Jesuit military fortress of St. Joseph's University oversees that prince of the church and warrior, the Cardinal Archbishop of Philadelphia. So that's going to be a hard sell unless something terrible happens where it can be obviously proven that the Jesuits have done it, like the whole COVID scam, where everybody has suffered from it. Uniting individuals of every creed and race and belief to call for the expulsion of the Jesuits out of Pennsylvania. And if the government in Pennsylvania won't do it, at Harrisburg, and by the way, Harrisburg has the most beautiful Capitol building in all 50 states. I love to go there and visit it. Every time I go down to get a document apostilled down there at the Secretary of State, I always take a walk over to the main Capitol building and look at its beauty. What a wonderful tribute to virtue, liberty, and independence, which are the words on the flag of the Pennsylvania, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Virtue. Virtue in Christ. Virtue in reading the Bible. Then you have liberty. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And then you have political independence. And it's in that order. Okay, so advocate that the state declare its independence. That individuals of different beliefs advocate the same, I'm not going to say unite, maybe just individual of different beliefs agree or are going to advocate these solutions, which are historically correct. Now, if the state won't do it, and it probably won't, the county can do it. Now, there's a certain amount of counties that make up the state. The county is the building block of each state. And in 1775, there was a county in North Carolina that declared its independence from King George III. And that county is called Mecklenburg County, North Carolina. And the men who wrote that Declaration of Independence were, what, 22, 23 thoroughgoing white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Calvinists. They were Calvinists. And I mean the way Calvinists used to be, not these theological pinheads that are always debating whether Christ died only for the elect or for the whole world. And they're throwing out the essential importance of taking up the sword of just defense as championed by John Knox, who was trained by John Calvin in Geneva. And John Knox in Scotland talked about the sword of just defense to take up the sword against the political tyranny of Mary, Queen of Scots. That's what real Calvinists do. That's why real Calvinists have guns. That's why real Calvinists, Bible-believing Calvinists, will never give up their guns or our bullets. It will never happen. We're the authors of gun ownership. Blacks didn't author that. Asians didn't offer that. Anybody of any other religion didn't author that. The Catholics didn't author that. It was white Anglo-Saxon Protestants and Baptists that authored gun ownership. The right to own and bear arms in your house for the purpose not to go hunting, not even to protect yourself from the criminals, but to resist a political tyranny. That's the sole purpose of the Second Amendment. Because you're going to take our First Amendment rights from us, you can meet us in the door with the Second Amendment. Now that's true nationalism, that's true patriotism, as even Lincoln said, that communist, even Lincoln said, it's the duty of the patriot to defend his country from his government. Because it's the right thing to do. It's the nationalist thing to do. We are nationalists. We do not want a tyranny in our country. So we resist it unto blood, striving against sin, as the Calvinists did on hundreds of battlefields in the past. So, number one, the first solution, calling for a Declaration of Independence, calling for the Jesuits to be expelled from the United States. Yeah, Congress, we're going to give you 90 days to expel the Jesuits from the United States, and if you don't, our state's going to declare independence, especially you Texans. You like all those Hispanic Roman Catholics coming in your borders, committing crimes every day, robbery, rape, and murder every day? You like that? White Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, Calvinists, and Baptists of Texas, do you like that? Or are you even Calvinistic anymore? Do you believe in taking up the sword of just defense anymore? And your governor calling for the Texas state police to stop them from coming in, you got the border control that's undoing what the Texas state police have done, and they're lowering the fences and allowing all these people to illegally come into the country. So they're illegal invaders, and they have no intention whatsoever of being American citizens or adopting our history, or our language, or our culture. They have no intention whatsoever. This is called the Reconquista. They're reconquering. They're coming in as conquerors. They're soldiers. And I tell you, the new right leadership that the Jesuits are preparing is going to unite against them, and they're going to round them up. So you got the Jesuits bringing them in, and the Jesuits with their new rights going to round them up and send them to camps, because all the white men think that's the only solution. Go into the new right and round them up. And that is not the solution. The solution is, Texas, you need to declare your independence. Forget about secession. Secession is not possible. Our earliest founding fathers were against secession, and the great jurist Joseph Story was against it. But he was not against the Declaration of Independence. So rather than call for secession, you must call for a Declaration of Independence. And when you declare your independence, you round all those savages up, and you send them right down south of the border, and if they resist you, you shoot them. You kill them. Anybody comes in your house without your permission, don't you shoot them? Well, your country is your house, and you got rules for entrance into your house. And if they're not going to abide by that and get visas and come in lawfully and peacefully, then if they're going to invade in, you shoot them. And you shoot a few hundred of them, and they're not going to come in anymore. That's how you take care of the problem. They're coming in to rob, rape, murder, destroy their dope sellers. They're working for the Pope's Medellin cartel and all those other cartels run by the Jesuits. You know, Escobar, did you know Pablo Escobar of the Medellin cartel? Did you know he had a CIA officer that lived near him? Did you know that? It's all run by the Pope's Catholics in Action, the Central Intelligence Agency, working with all these mafiosos. And you got these certain mafia leaders now saying, oh, the Catholic Church is not connected with the mafia. Sure it is. What's that guy's name? Francis? Claims to be a Christian now. Oh, the mafia is not controlled by the Vatican. Liar! All you got to do is watch the movie Monsignor with Christopher Reeves in it, and it very ably portrays the Vatican Cardinal Secretary of State involved with the mafia and all the black market. Just wake up! The Archbishop of Palermo runs the mafia. Who said? It's in the Cardinal Spellman story. It's the Francis Cardinal Spellman by John Cooney. All this is relevant. The Jesuits must be expelled from this country, or the Jesuits must, or we must declare our independence in our particular states and then expel them. We will expel them from our state. And I'll personally unite with any infidel with a gun to help to work together to go round them up and send them out of this country, and if they resist, to shoot them. And if the state won't do it, we can do it on a county level. That's right. And I'll tell you this. There's plenty of Hispanics that know what the Vatican has done to their countries. They know the Vatican has wrecked Mexico. Do you realize that Costa Rica expelled the Jesuits in, I think, in 1880, 1882? Those people know the power of the Jesuit order. They don't want them in their country. And they know the Jesuits are the ones responsible for all the drug cartels wreaking havoc and murder to drive these people to desperation to come to North Americana. They didn't want to come here. But they were driven in their desperation to come up here by the Jesuits running those criminal cartels in Central and South America to drive them up here, to sacrifice them to the new right, to round them all up and kill them in the concentration camps called the FEMA camps. Is that what you want for these Hispanics, white men? I don't. I tell them, hey, you got to go back to where you came from. They're going to kill you here. I told one Muslim man that years ago. I was sick. I was poisoned. And when I was at the Health Federation meeting in Pasadena, and couldn't hardly move. took some charcoal and a couple other things, and it started to get absorbed. And so I said, "How to get out of there?" And so it was a Jordanian taxi cab driver, and he came and picked me up. I said, "I can't carry my luggage." He said, "I carry it for you." So he carried my luggage out to his taxi, and we got to talking. And I said, "You know, you really need to leave here." "Well, what for?" I said, "Because there's going to be a war against Islam," and this was before 9/11. I says, "There's going to be a war against Islam here. And they're going to round you up. They're going to send you to camps." And he said, "No, I don't think so. We're happy here." I said, "What's going to happen is they're going to blow up the Al-Aqsa Mosque. They're going to blow up the Dome of the Rock. They're going to blame the American people for that. That's what's going to happen." And then he said to me, "Oh, Allah would never allow that." And I said, "Well, it's going to happen, so you need to get ready to leave here." And he got real serious. And he said to me, "If that ever happened, we would teach our children to hate and kill every American that we could ever find anywhere in the world." I say, "Well, I understand that, but you got to know this American is telling you, you better get out of here. Because a new right's coming. They're going to round all you Muslims up out of here, and they're going to send you to the camps." And the stupid, ignorant, pagan white people of this country will go along with it. Because the white people of this country should have been reading the Bible. They should have said, "The Vatican runs America. And the Vatican's brought all this upon us. So we've got to get the Jesuits out. And they're not getting out. We've got to have our state declare its independence. And if our state won't do it, our county's..." But we're sure, in the name of Jesus Christ, are not going to join the new right. Ever. Playing us for suckers. So as I reiterated in the past, in my previous broadcast, I'm calling for individuals, whether we be Bible-believing men of God, whether we be pagans and atheists, whatever, to unite politically, not with our particular churches or organizations, but to individually unite in calling for the expulsion of the Jesuits from the United States, or our state to declare its independence and then expel them from our state, or then our county to declare its independence and expel them from our county. And while we're at it, we're going to shut down every Masonic lodge, too. Scottish Rite. I'm going to shut them down, just like Alexander the First expelled the Jesuits in 1820 out of Russia, and then 2 years later he shuts down every Masonic lodge. God bless Alexander the First. All you Russians ought to have a portrait of him hanging up in your house, because the Jesuits will poison him in 1825. So, that's what I'm advocating. So now the question is, well, do you have any historic examples of this, Brother Eric? I said, I sure do. I sure do. Well, the first historical example is the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence. It was not written by Jefferson alone. It was written by five men. Those five men were Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Robert Livingston, and Roger Sherman. Now, Franklin, of course, was an infidel, a member of the Hellfire Club in Paris, and a serial fornicator. After he died, 17 of his illegitimate children surfaced in Philadelphia to lay claim to his fortune. Benjamin Franklin was not a good man. He advocated right things, but he himself was not a good man. So he united in resisting the tyranny of the King of England, even though he was a pagan. The next one, John Adams. John Adams was not necessarily a Christian man, but his wife, Abigail, was a Christian lady. She was a Bible-believing Protestant. And so he at least had an influence of his wife, Abigail, in the writing of the Declaration of Independence. And there's Thomas Jefferson. Well, we know he's an infidel because Thomas Jefferson would have the audacity to take the first three Gospels and cut out all the supernatural. We're going to cut out the virgin birth. We're going to cut out all the miracles that Christ did. We're going to cut out his resurrection and ascension. Jefferson was leading in the cutting out of these things in the last 12 verses of Mark. You see, if you cut out the last 12 verses of Mark, which the Jesuits have done with all their new versions and their Westcott and Hort Greek text, you might as well throw the Gospel of Mark in the trash. There's no resurrection, there's no ascension, no Great Commission. You cut out the last 12 verses, you just destroyed the Gospel of Mark. And that's exactly what the Jesuits have sought to do with all their new perversion translations. Perversions. Jefferson did that with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, cutting out all the supernatural concerning Christ. He was an infidel. Yet he did do a right thing. He called for the separation, a declaration of independence against the King of England, King George III. He did a right thing, even though he was an ungodly man. Now you have two more men on this commission here for the writing of the Declaration of Independence. The first one is Robert Livingston. Robert Livingston was a Calvinist. He was a Protestant and a Calvinist. He's considered one of the founding fathers. And the other one was, and I maintain the greatest of all, was Roger Sherman. Roger Sherman was a Reformed Protestant and most thoroughgoing Calvinist. And the Declaration of Independence is not Lockean, it's Calvinistic. Remembering Calvinists believing in the sword of just defense. And so, these Calvinists united with these infidels in the writing of the Declaration of Independence to separate the colonies from the tyranny of King George III, and Jefferson in that declaration had a paragraph that he wanted to add that the king had put upon us this obnoxious, iniquitous slave trade, of which every time we tried to do away with it, the king would veto our governor's vote. Jefferson was absolutely against the slave trade. All your historic white Protestant, Calvinist, Presbyterians, and Baptists were against the slave trade, and that's why they sought to end it, and that's why they financed the building of Liberia with a capital there named Monrovia after James Monroe, another white man who was a nominal Protestant. So, principle, ungodly, unsaved man can unite with us in advocating a declaration of independence from that political tyranny in Washington run by the Pope through his commander-in-chief. It was done with the Declaration of Independence. It can be done now with our Declaration of Independence by our state, or the calling from our for the Congress to expel the Jesuits from the United States. Surely there must be a few feminists who want to do that. Going on. Then we have the Declaration of Independence. We have the next one we have the Dutch Declaration of Independence in 1581. They weren't all Bible-believing men. They were men, some of them Bible believers, some of them saved Protestants and Baptists, some of them not. But they united in declaring their independence from the Holy Roman Empire and the Holy Roman Emperor. They did a right thing, and those men of God united together in the political movement to separate the United Provinces from the dictatorship and the tyranny of the Holy Roman Emperor, who in turn was run by the Pope. Okay, so that's been done twice now. Men of God uniting with unsaved men, or infidels, in advocating resistance to political tyranny, and in this instance here in America, the expulsion of the Jesuit order, or separating from Washington run by the Jesuit order for declarations of independence by your state or by your county. The states can do it, as they did in 1776, and the county can do it, as Mecklenburg County did in 1775 in North Carolina. Now, there's another example. Another Calvinist involved in the Declaration of Independence, another Bible-believing, born-again, King James-only believing, believing, of course, there were places that they could be clarified. Yes, that's right. None of them were believing that every word in the King James had to stand as it was without any clarification. That is a cult, Brother Brian. And Ruckman never believed that either. Although he did believe that the English corrects the Greek, which was a tremendous heresy, as though the English translation is a direct translation from God overruling the Greek and the Hebrew, which is cultic and heretical. But I'm going to address that in another broadcast. It's going to take some time. So now, what we have here is John Witherspoon. John Witherspoon was a Presbyterian Calvinist, and he was the head of the Presbyterian College known as Princeton for several years. He was the teacher of the great Bill of Rights writer, James Madison, who was a Baptist and a Calvinist. So John Witherspoon, he's the one who said this at the time of the writing of the Declaration of Independence, at the time of its signing. This is what he said. Here is the writing of J.T. Headley in his great work, The Chaplains and Clergy of the Revolution. And we read on page 283 of John Witherspoon, D.D., signs the Declaration. We read, when the Declaration was reported and laid before Congress for their adoption and signature, everyone felt that a fearful crisis had come. Some true patriots wavered. The step which should forever separate them entirely from the mother country and plunge the land in a war, the end of which no man could foresee, was a momentous one to take. But the hour of decision had arrived, and not only the fate of a great nation, but of man the world over, hung suspended on it. That august body felt the tremendous responsibility that rested upon it, and a deep and solemn silence reigned throughout the hall. In the midst of it, Witherspoon arose and said, Mr. President, that noble instrument on your table which ensures immortality to its author should be subscribed this very morning by every pen in the House. He who will not respond to its accents and strain every nerve to carry it into effect its provisions, is unworthy the name of freeman. Now that's a political status that all white men that were colonists for the most part had, as they took that status from Magna Carta, of which I have that status by ultimately a court decree. But we see that the name of freeman. And then he goes on to say, although these gray hairs must descend into the sepulcher, that's the grave, I would infinitely rather they should descend thither by the hand of the executioner than desert at this crisis the sacred cause of my country." Unquote. The venerable man sat down, but these great words continued to vibrate in each heart, strengthening the firm and giving courage to the wavering. And when a timid member remarked that the country was not ripe for such a declaration of independence, Witherspoon replied in a voice that rung through the hall, quote, "In my judgment, sir, we are not only ripe, but rotten," unquote. With an untremulous hand and a heart firm and steady, he put his name to that immortal instrument. That was the great Protestant Presbyterian Calvinist John Witherspoon, a foremost founding father of our white Anglo-Saxon Protestant and Baptist limited federal republic established in 1789, when 9 states of the 13 states, ratified the Constitution. Now here's from Jackson's farewell address. Jackson's farewell address, that's Andrew Jackson, second greatest state paper, I maintain, of America. And he writes, he uses the term freeman 4 times. On page 171 of my particular work that has Jackson's farewell address, we read, quote, "We are not left to conjecture how the moneyed power, thus organized and with such a weapon in its hands, would be likely to use it. The distress and alarm which pervaded and agitated the whole country when the Bank of the United States waged war upon the people, in order to compel them to submit to its demands, cannot yet be forgotten. The ruthless and unsparing temper with which whole cities and communities were oppressed, individuals impoverished and ruined, and a scene of cheerful prosperity suddenly changed into one of gloom and despondency, ought to be indelibly impressed on the memory of the people of the United States. If such was its power in a time of peace, what would it not have been in a season of war with an enemy at your doors? No nation but the freemen of the United States could have come out victorious from such a contest. Yet if you had not conquered, the government would have passed from the hands of the many to the hands of the few. And this organized money power, from its secret conclave, would have dictated the choice of your highest officers and compelled you to make peace or war, as best suited their own wishes. The forms of your government might for a time have remained, but its living spirit would have departed from it." And I maintain that's exactly what happened on March 9th, 1933 in this country, when they imposed military government with a commander-in-chief who is really a constitutional dictator. This is the same Andrew Jackson who fought the Battle of New Orleans. And you know who fought with him, with those white men that aided him and his officers? Blacks. Infidels. Roman Catholics. Pirates. Now, just because I unite with those people to resist political tyranny, does that mean I'm going to become a pirate? Does that mean I'm going to become pro-black, anti-white? Does that mean I'm going to become a Roman Catholic? Also, Indians fought with them. American Indians. We're all natives if we're born here. American Indians fought there too. You got American Indians, pirates, blacks, whites, all uniting for a common political purpose to stop the British army sent by King George III to reconquer America, the Reconquista, from the Jesuits running King George III. And hence, that's an example of men of God uniting with unbelievers on the political issue of setting back political despotism, ultimately run by the papacy through the Jesuit order. And that's what I'm calling for. I'm calling for you men, of no matter how much I disagree with you, that we need to call for the expulsion of the Jesuits from the United States, or our state to declare its independence, or our county to declare its independence, but never in the name of Christ to join the new right, which would include the alt-right and you name it, which is being built right now through the desperation of white people, through the horrible things that Joe Biden has been doing, overseen by his Jesuit masters, to drive us into the arms of the new right. We can't go there. We have to advocate those three solutions, which are historically correct and biblically sanctioned. I'll give you one more example of godly men uniting with ungodly men for a common purpose of expelling the Jesuits from their country for the political purpose alone. The example is the great German Empire. After they won the Franco-Prussian War in 1871, they defeated Napoleon III in 6 months. Napoleon III runs to England to be protected by Victoria. She's run by the Jesuits. And so what happens at Versailles, at that treaty, when the French surrendered, it's about that time that the German Empire was founded. That's called the Second Reich. The First Reich ended in 1808, thereabouts, with Napoleon. The Second Reich is begun, which is Protestant, in 1871. Now, in this Protestant Second Reich, of which Prussia was an active player, of which Otto von Bismarck was the leading chancellor of the Second Reich, he, along with the Kaiser, Wilhelm I, called for the expulsion of the Jesuits from Germany. And the Protestants and the Catholics united together in the Reichstag and the Parliament of Germany, and they passed an act expelling the Jesuits from all of Germany and Prussia. That was a good thing. The men of God advocated it. Bismarck was a Bible-believing Lutheran who said Roman Catholics can be saved, but no Pope is ever saved. And so, with that, Catholics and Protestants united together for the purpose of expelling the Jesuits. The Protestants didn't join their Catholic Church, and the Catholics didn't join their Protestant Church. But for the political purpose of expelling the Jesuits, they united. And Germany became the freest nation in Europe. They enfranchised 550,000 Jews. It became the economic powerhouse of Europe. The Lord greatly blessed Germany for being Lutheran and also for advocating freedom of conscience, speech, and press. The Lutherans were at that time reading Luther Bible, which is the indirectly inspired translation of the directly inspired Textus Receptus and Hebrew Masoretic text. And so, as Luther said, I have made the Germans sing as doth the Greek. So, amen, God has chosen to use translations to save his elect. And so when they were holding to the Reformation Luther Bible, in the Lutheran church and Protestant churches, the Lord blessed him. And when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even him to be at peace with his enemies. And so that's what happened to Germany. But higher criticism came in, and they started to abandon the Luther Bible. And hence, when that happens, you have World War I, the decimation of the Protestant Second Reich, as will be the case with the decimation of the British Empire when they came out with their English Revised Version in 1880, based on a corrupted Greek text. As goes the Bible, so goes your country. Get rid of the Reformation Bible, the AV 1611 for English-speaking people. Get rid of the Luther Bible for German people, German-speaking people. You destroy your country. And you will ultimately, in the end, violate the Abrahamic Covenant and persecute the Jews, which is coming here with a new right. Get the book, The Beast Reawakens by Martin Lee. Get the other book by Betty Claremont. The Neo-Catholics. The Neo-Catholics by Betty Claremont. Get those two books. So in conclusion, I hope this makes it clearer that I'm calling for my obvious opponents to unite in advocating the proper solution to this political problem, or to advocate the same solution. I won't say unite. I'm not uniting with them. Well, I am uniting with them if we are going to advocate the same political solution. Because it's not theological. It's not spiritual. It is a political solution that our white Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, and Baptist forefathers did when they united with certain infidels and others with the Declaration of Independence and so on to separate from Great Britain, as we should unite to call for the Jesuits being expelled from this country, or to call for our state to declare its independence, or to call with for our county to declare its independence. They don't have to be all saved, all Bible-believing, because it's not going to be that way. But the men who will advocate the right things will be advocating this, and they had better be saved. They better know the Lord, because we will have a problem. We will be targeted for elimination when we advocate these things, but that's okay. As long as we're staying out of sin, the best to our knowledge, we're immortal. The moment we get an open, obvious sin, like continuous and ceaseless profanity, then the Lord will deal with us. That is, if we're his children. Amen? So, until next broadcast, Lord bless. I trust this has clarified my previous broadcast. Till we meet again, Maranatha.